temper brings its honor to my happy Mushu palace.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
I'm feeling happy.
You gone mad?
I'm so mad at you, I don't think I'll ever talk to you again.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Crooked Water Hard Iced Tea from the makers of Alibi Vodka.
Welcome back to the show, and we have officially entered our Friday 10 o'clock segment known as Bugs and Hugs. It is your opportunity to give us a call or shoot us a text, 1-877-332-8255. In the week that we've had, there's got to be a lot of things that fit in either category, whether it's a bug or a hug. The text line has been busy this morning, and I want to get to a few of the texts. In fact, I've got one from Sean in Weyburn with a bug for the federal government. I've got one from Al in Saskatchewan with a hug for the federal government. So I'm going to get to those in just a second. But the phone line also has lit up this morning, so let's jump right into that. I have Steve calling in with a hug and a bug, I believe. Steve, welcome to the show. What have you got? Oh, we need Steve.
Hello, are you
there? Yeah, I got you, Steve. Thanks.
Okay.
What have you got for me?
Well, having to do with Ms. Albright's movement.
Right.
Basically, I have a lot of respect for her for the way she did this. You mentioned the difference looking at what's been happening in our federal government lately with floor crossers.
Right.
The idea of going to become the independent. Congratulations, man. You did the right thing. Like, stick to your guns and make that move.
She definitely has stuck to her guns, right? Saying, I mean, she's leaving. She definitely would, many would argue, has more influence staying in the NDP as opposed to as an independent, but she's making her point, Steve.
Right. At the same time, I also have a boot, big, bad, ugly for Ms. Beck. Now, I'm not an NDP supporter by any means, but I mean, to handcuff her MLA at any time is, in my opinion, wrong. Now, I was the candidate for Sask United Party in our last general election. And my first question to the party was, where do I have to stand? And their answer was, you are elected by the people of your constituency, firstly. They put you there, you do what they want. Secondly, what the province wants.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, Steve, because I think, you know, I'm interested to hear that those were the comments that you were given, because I think as much as that is the case, there still is, and maybe you disagree with me, but there still is this expectation that you're going to follow the party's strategic line.
Yes, definitely the overall strategic line you follow. But you know what? You have these discussions, you bring up your points. And if you can't agree with it, well, you know what? When the vote comes up, there would have been one dissenter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. The media, of course, would jump all over that. But because we then don't have party solidarity. Well, you know what? I have the solidarity of the people that put me there.
Right. I mean, that's I get exactly where you're coming from on this, Steve, and I do think that this could be a whole show topic in and of itself, because I have been one to criticize municipal politicians. Different beast altogether. I get it, because you don't represent a party. You truly do represent the people that elected you. However, I've been critical of municipal politicians not doing what they is in the best interest or the consensus of people in their ward. Maybe that's a whole other topic, but. Thanks for the call, Steve. Bugs and Hugs well underway. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Saskatoon. Ari is on the line. What have you got for me today, my friend?
Evan, there is a special place in hell for parents who leave summer kids' band concerts right after their kid performs before the end.
This has been an age-old problem, Ari.
Oh, I know. I have a subgroup in that special group of hell, but that's number one. Went to a concert for some family members. By the time it got to the end, it was half empty.
Yeah.
And so those kids are looking out going, well, at least I can see my parents now, right? Which is a nice thing. But here's the other part of that. Then there's these self-important people who take their phones, and because there's no risers, it's hard to see, they'll hold their phone way up above their head and block everybody behind them so they can't see.
Yeah.
You want to block, you want to record it, that's fine. Put it right in front of your face. But if you're going to stick it up another 2 feet above and block everyone behind you, it's just it's like, please, please find your special corner of hell, live in there, and let the rest of us enjoy the concert in the gym.
Let me give you, Ari, just don't leave me yet. I want to give you my example of that because it's actually on the other end. So it wasn't a concert. It was a convocation. My daughter graduated from the advanced care paramedic program with SAS Polytech. So her convocation was on Tuesday afternoon of this week. It was in Regina at the Kinexus Arts Center. It was absolutely packed. The same thing happened. Both of your examples. Number one, after their little loved one crossed the stage and had their name announced, people were getting up and leaving. You know, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, going out the aisle. The other thing, the cell phone thing, it happened right in front of us. There were people that were wanting to grab a video, but of course it's like, it has a significant impact on you as well. So it's not just the, the concerts, it's the graduations, convocations as well, Ari.
Well, and I mean, parents are self-absorbed. And I mean, it's a whole generational thing, right? It's like, okay, fine. You're going to take a video of them walking across the stage. You know what? Let's just, and I suggested this to the school principal. Play a band song before each group that's called the media song, where all the parents just get to come running right up front, take all the pictures, they can do everything they want, and then sit the heck down and enjoy the concert.
I like it, Ari. I like it. It's a good proposal. Is that all, or have you got more for me?
Oh, Evan, I could rant for the whole darn time. You know that. You're baiting me, aren't you?
Well, I did see a text from you this morning that I thought maybe would be good for us to talk about.
Okay, fine. I'll go there. So the city of Saskatoon wants to expand its materials recovery park to go 365 days a year for hazardous waste recovery. Great. Perfect. Makes sense. It's exactly what the city government should be doing. But where's the money coming for that? From the Fund for Homelessness and Housing.
I read the story. It's a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, and this is the government minister says this money is for that, and the city says we're taking it to build at the dump, which is a great thing. It's a bit of a shell game, right? But you can't have a mayor and city council going, we don't have the money to fund homeless initiatives. We're short on that. We can't address this problem, but wait a minute. We're going to take money from that fund and use it to collect waste.
Mm-hmm.
So
a recycling center doesn't address a housing crisis.
No, it really doesn't.
It
makes quality of life better for everybody in Saskatoon. I get it. And it's a worthwhile initiative. I'm not knocking that part of it. But a little honesty and a little transparency that goes a long way. And it says, hey, if we need to borrow the money to cover that, that's great. But don't come out tomorrow and say we're $3 million short in housing money because the government didn't give us enough.
Always appreciate your takes on things. Ari, thanks so much for the call. 1-877-332-8255. Let's keep going here. I've got Matt in Estevan. Back to the discussion we had with former NDP MLA Betty Nippy Albright this morning. Matt, what's got you bugged?
Well, actually, I'm going to change up my bug a little bit because Steve, your first caller was actually said the same thing. Basically, I was going to say is that, although maybe you do or don't agree with what Betty has done stepping down based on her conviction, she should be doing what the constituents want. So I'm going to switch it up. That's basically Steve already covered that.
Okay.
So I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go back to, when you were at the oil show and you talked to somebody about changing the number of seats for riding.
Right.
My suggestion for that would be maybe we should change it based on GDP per capita, which Saskatchewan would be at top, Alberta
wow.
number two.
There's an interesting concept, Matt. Yeah. Like let's figure out who is the economic engine for the country and reward them accordingly. I like it, Matt. 1-877-332-8255. We got time for one more before the break. Sure. Why don't we go to someone who came and visited me at the oil show? It's Cal from Oxbow. Cal, these conversations feel so much different now that we've shook hands.
Yes, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed shaking your hand and feeling like a tiny person standing next to you. So that was great. So
it was a great oil show, though. Great show this year.
It was. And I spent the day there yesterday, and it was just as busy as it was the day before. So, and that's my hug going out to you guys. It's great to see you out there because there's thousands of people that work in this industry
and really, really love being in here and love the great press that goes with that sort of thing so that we can be such a positive light for our industry. It's great.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
If you want me to go forever like Ari, I could, though. So you had Mr. Hillier on this morning, and that sort of got me going on something that I wasn't planning on doing with the military. Now, did you see this story where the military, they're asking military people to hand back their backpacks and body armor if they're not deployed because we don't have enough equipment?
Hmm.
And yet our government, with their wokeness, they're sending money over to the Democratic Republic of Congo for gender-sensitive farming, whatever the heck that means, and yet we can't supply our military with proper equipment so that they can all have the things. Those kinds of things drive me crazy. Like, we're destroying our own country, feeling morally superior, sending all this money over for things that don't make any sense at all, Evan.
If we're sending money to Congo, let's deal with Ebola, maybe.
Anyway,
it's a whole other thing, but
yeah. And then, of course, the recession thing is also driving me crazy, Evan. I mean, this idea that it's a rounding error. These journalists that call themselves journalists are such liberal sycophants. It's crazy. Do they do any research at all? What was her name? That Sharon Kerr. She calls it a rounding error of the negative 0.01%. Again, these people don't do any research. Does she understand that economists were calling for a growth of 1.5% for Canada, and it came out as a negative? That's a huge difference. And that huge miss, that affects all kinds of things in Canada. You know, mortgage renewals, grocery bills, companies don't hire because they're in this holding pattern because they don't know what's going on. Business investment has fallen 5 quarters in a row, which they never talk about. You know, and all of those things create an economic disparity, and now Trump is changing the rules. Did you see that as well for small businesses?
Yep.
Because our Carney government will not do any negotiating and could have made a deal 8 months ago, but no. So now Trump sees even more weakness. I mean, this is so infuriating.
There's many people, you know, on the notion of what the United States is doing, because I will often see texts saying, you know, why do we even talk about, who cares what the United States is doing? Well, I remember being at the supply chain forum a couple of months back at Prairie Land in Saskatoon and talking with people that work in the mining supply chain, saying that they are worried about decisions that could be made in the States, things like, for example, you don't pay income tax on overtime. Decisions that could be made, changes to income structures that might pull qualified, educated, trained labor away from Canada and into the United States. So we can't turn a blind eye to that for sure. Cal, always appreciate the calls. Let's take our break. We're going to continue on. Bugs and Hugs goes right until 11 o'clock. We're just getting going here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You're the best friends anybody ever had.
Well, the jerks are called. They're running out of you.
Bring it in, bring it in.
I will only be checking somewhat satisfied on our comment card.
You know what really grinds my gears? Bug me!
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Crooked Water Hard Iced Tea from the makers of Alibi Vodka.
Welcome back. Bugs and Hugs continues. The number is 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Larry in Saskatoon with a bug. What have you got, Larry?
Well, I'm a little bit bugged by one of my favorite people, Premier Daniel Smith, during some press conference, opined that if Alberta were to go independent, it would cost them in the neighborhood of $400 billion. And I thought, okay, let's see, the federal budget for 2025 for 40 million people was $585 billion. And something's not adding up here. And I thought, well, you know, she'd mentioned Canada Pension Plan. Well, Saskatchewan has a Saskatchewan Pension Plan the government set up years ago. I'm sure we could help with the, costing and doing that. If, whatever, it's not going to be that.
Do you think it's, let me ask you this, Larry, do you think it's the startup costs that she was trying to get at, or do you think she was legitimately trying to put cold water on flames of separation?
I think if we go through the details, she's under pressure to put cold water, which is not a good idea, because if you're going to solve a problem, you have to talk about the problem, work through what may be a solution and how that would operate. If you try and stop the discussion, it's only going to cause more conflict. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about the unemployment insurance. Well, that's what we should call it. That was honest. Liberals call it employment because they're not honest. Our unemployment rate is half of the national average in Alberta and Saskatchewan. So we already, you know, we obviously can do things better than they can.
Right. You know, it's interesting because, Larry, what you said, you know, about having the conversation is important. And that is true for people who like to have who are critical thinkers, who like to have robust critical conversation. And if I can be boastful, I think you are that person. And by you, I mean listeners of talk radio. You're a critical thinker. If you listen to this radio format, you want to talk things out. You want to understand what the problem is and talk about what solutions might be. Like, you want to do that, even if what you're hearing is counter to the way you think. But the reality is, there's a lot of people who don't think that way. There are a lot of people who are not critical thinkers. And if I can be so bold, I'm not being critical. I'm just stating the fact. There are a lot of people who don't want to get into the nitty gritty of it. But if you missed, by the way, what Danielle Smith said, this is, in a nutshell, what she talked about on the cost of separation this week.
What is our share of the national debt? $170 billion, very likely, which would cost about $10 billion a year in interest costs. We now have a 5% NATO commitment. We've never had a national defense before. What would that cost? That's about $25 billion. We'd have to take over OAS and child tax benefit, probably another $10 or $15 billion. We'd have to set up the infrastructure for CPP and EI and various other programs that we don't currently run. There's cost associated with that. We'd have to have border control. People would have to have border stations at Saskatchewan and British Columbia and have tariffs. We'd have to renegotiate all of our trade agreements around the world and establish trade offices. We'd have to set up a post office. We would have to regulate telecoms, banking. We'd have to regulate railways. Like, there's, as you can see, it's a pretty extensive list that has probably hundreds of billions of dollars worth of startup costs. And people need to understand that about what it would be to set up a fully functional national government from scratch.
Okay, that was just a clip of what Danielle Smith talked about this week. But many people observed that that was nothing more than her trying to douse the flames of separation, influence what the vote looks like come October. And, you know, the points that she was bringing up, I mean, I don't know if the math is anywhere close on some of the costs that she's got there. But as a person who has said on this program, I'm not a separatist. I am a person who is going to always say a proud Canadian, want to stay in Canada. Doesn't mean that we don't have problems. Doesn't mean I don't recognize that. But one of my criticisms has been, you know, I think there is more to separating than what is being spoken about. And whether the numbers are right or not, what Danielle Smith spoke about this week, some of the things that, you know, I have on a list of what needs to be contemplated if there's going to be some serious steps in this direction. Okay, still some people on the phone, lots of texts coming in. Bugs and Hugs continues. We're only half done here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Why don't you do the world a favor, pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball!
Because they're all good kids, until dried-out, brain-dead skags like you drag them down and convince them they're no good.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Crooked Water Hard Iced Tea, from the makers of Alibi Vodka.
Welcome back to the show. Bugs and Hugs continues, where the number 1-877-332-8255 works for either the text line or the phone line, and we're getting lots of both today on Bugs and Hugs. In fact, I mentioned we're getting hugs for the federal government. We're getting bugs for the federal government. Al, who texts in on almost a daily basis, said, Evan and Frank, I'm laughing at the recession that the conservatives are framing as doom and gloom. The unemployment rate fell. The gas prices have been down this past week, but I don't hear the conservatives praising Prime Minister Carney for this good news. I haven't heard an economist say we're in a recession unless you're talking to armchair right-wing loonies screaming that the sky is falling. Well, careful, Al. I feel like you're pointing at me. I'm a guy that says, look, it's a recession. I do not believe we qualify this to call it a technical recession. We're in a recession. Might it be short-lived? Yeah, maybe it is. But I think it's important we talk about what the pieces are that are contributing to this, and that whole immigration talk that we had earlier today, that plays a significant role in this. Many people suggesting, many economists suggesting that we've been in a recession for over 4 years. It was masked by the point that we had mass immigration, which meant we were flooding the Canadian market with more consumers, which gave us an artificial rating of a GDP increase. I mean, I read the stat. I think it was GDP up 1.6% over a period of time, but our population was up 1.8. So there is a correlation to it. Economists will say that. Now, on the other side of it, so that's a hug from Al for the government and a bug for the conservatives. Sean and Weyburn, on the other hand, with a bug. The federal liberals announced an eye-watering $72 billion deficit, up $4 billion from projections. The elbows-up crowd are saying that only a small percentage is the result of tariffs. The interest costs on Carney's sovereign, well, it's the sovereign wealth fund, but John's calling it the sovereign debt fund, will cost Canadians $750 million a year. Carney has achieved his goal of net zero. Net zero growth, net zero jobs, net zero productivity, John, in Weyburn. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the report, but the budget watchdog has come out. This is Parliamentary Budget Officer Annette Ryan today released her office's first economic fiscal update since she assumed this role in April. And she says that Ottawa has less than a 1% chance of maintaining the key fiscal anchor of shrinking the deficit as a share of the economy every year. Budget office expects the deficit for this year to be $71.8 billion, so that's $6.5 billion higher than Ottawa's spring projection. And it estimates, again, the odds that Ottawa will show a decline in the deficit every year at less than 1%. So that's the first report from the parliamentary budget officer. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. Let's start with Bonnie in Wadena. Bonnie, what have you got today on Bugs and Hugs?
Well, I have a hug for Pierre Poilievre and the Conservative MPs who are fighting for us in Parliament. Poilievre is the only voice of reason and hope in this current situation that we're facing in this recession. He says Canada is broken, and he's right. We're also broke.
Are we fixable, Bonnie? Are we fixable?
Yes, if we can get the Liberals out of power.
I feel like I put the ball in the tee for you there, Bonnie.
Yes. I'm bugged with their handling of Canada's economy. They have put us into this recession, and with their leadership, we will continue to plunge downward. How can we trust them with these AI centers when they can't even manage the internet?
Well, I'll tell you, the AI topic is one that we are going to dig into a little bit more coming up at 11:30 today. So we saw the federal AI strategy yesterday, which many people, experts from every political leaning, pointing at there's some gaps in that federal strategy. We've got a guest from our province who wants to talk a little bit more about unanswered questions around the AI data center in our province. So that's coming up at 11:30. Bugs and Hugs continues. Let's go to Dwayne in Carrot River with a bug today. What have you got, Dwayne?
Well, I continue to be bugged by the fact that people keep phoning your program and talking about separation of Alberta from Canada. We've had a court decision that says that is not going to happen, and they will continue to do that. We have treaties with Native people who have said they're not separating from Canada. I don't know why people continue to think this is going to happen. Hot air is not going to make it happen. And it's just a waste of time on your program to hear that people still are barking up that tree when it's done, over, dead, fait accompli.
However, there's polls show 30% of Albertans, Dwayne, think separation is the way to go.
If 99% of them say that they want to go, the law in Canada says they ain't going anywhere.
Well, I will say I do not think separation is going to be a thing. I'm very confident in saying that the separation vote, when it happens, and keep in mind, maybe I'm even overstating it there, it's not a vote to separate. The referendum question in Alberta on October the 19th is, do you want to stay a part of Canada, or do you want to start the process, yada, 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 to separate? I think it's pretty clear that the vote to stay wins. But it doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of people out there who passionately feel like this is the best option. In some cases, I'm feeling like they feel like it's the only option, which is why we end up talking about it on the show. Essentially, that's what we try and do on the show, is capture what are the topics, what are the things that people are talking about. Lots of times it could be a topic that isn't legally possible, but people are frustrated to the point that they want to try and find a solution. And in fact, I think that's probably where we're going to go after we hear from Doug here in Saskatoon. Doug, I'm going to bring you into the conversation. You've got a bug about what's going on around the world and how little we hear about it. Am I right?
Yeah, I've been just looking at some of the things going on in Gaza and listening to some of the people speak on it. There's an Italian legal scholar. Her name is Francesca Albanese, and she's human rights expert, and she's talking about what's going on there and the numbers they're throwing around, and as possibility casualties like 680,000. 85% of Gaza is in ruins. 380,000 of those could be children under five. 158 health workers killed, 252 journalists, 346 UN staff. And then I watched another one followed up by a World Health Organization rep saying nothing she has ever seen. She's been to Somalia. She's been to Bosnia. And what's going on in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and Gaza is nothing she's ever seen. And the world needs to step in. And with all the worry about anti-Semitism, and, you know, you bring in on Warren Kinsella to talk about what could possibly happen, there's a Holocaust going on right now. And the world is ignoring it. And we talk about, you know, your guest earlier today, what would have happened if Canada wouldn't have stepped in back when this was happening to the Jews? Why is it okay that it's happening to the Palestinians? And why aren't you bringing on anybody with their perspective and looking at what's going on there?
Well, we have had guests, Doug, that have brought on the Palestinian perspective, for sure. I mean, part of this, the challenge with this topic is that it's the splitting of, some people will say, of hairs. Others will say it's a more defined definition between the war between Israel and Hamas and the harm that Hamas has played for the Palestinian people in this conflict. And it's a big topic, but we definitely have had guests on to speak on all sides of this conflict. The challenges, I think, with topics like this one, is this has been going on now for obviously months, years, and really decades, if you go back in history. And so, short of making it a regular segment on the show, which right or wrong, it's not the topic that most people in Saskatchewan are talking about. And I say right or wrong because I realize that there's lots of tragedies that are happening in these wars around the world. But it just, you know, do you want to hear that topic 4 hours a day on this radio show? And that, now those are, when we're putting the show together, those are the things that we often will talk about and contemplate, making sure that we're on top of the topics that everyday people are talking about here on the show. One more call before the next break. Let's go to Ron and Regina. Ron, thanks for joining us. Your bug today.
I'm hearing a lot of people all say, well, Mr. Polyev is the savior for everything. And I just want to point out, like I said, I'm a longtime conservative, but I haven't cared for the way he's done things. Specifically, when the convoy issue was on, he was out there taking photos and buying coffee and donuts. And their defiance of the lockdown measures, masking and vaccination, cost innocent people their lives. So to proclaim his the savior and, you know, and the holy one, It's just not accurate. And I really worry when the next pandemic does come, and one day it will, if he's in power, what kind of reaction we're going to have and how many more people are going to necessarily die because he's putting ideology and votes ahead of what's right.
So do you think it's, I'm guessing, you think it's time for a new leader of the Conservatives?
Well, if they want to get in power, I think they have to. That's why people are supporting Mr. Carney, because he seems to have a bit of a positive attitude. Mr. Polyev, I mean, I'm surprised not everybody's jumping off the bridge.
1-877-332-8255. Ron, thanks for the call. Let's go into our break and come back and finish up. Lots of great texts coming in as well here on Bugs and Hugs. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Super duper!
That's awesome!
Who did this, you flower son of bitches?
I just want to give you a big hug.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Crooked Water Hard Iced Tea from the makers of Alibi Vodka.
I want to send quickly a hug out of my own to Jeremy Evans, who we had on the show Wednesday, better known as the Grizzly Dude. Jeremy Evans is the Canadian who was hunting in the mountains in 2017, and after stumbling upon a grizzly bear cub, was very quickly after that attacked by the grizzly bear, the mother of the cub. And listening to his telling of this story on the show on Wednesday while we were live on location at the Oil and Gas Show was, well, it's an interview I will never forget.
I mean, the first little bit was hand-to-hand combat with my backpack, beating her, smashing her in the face, trying to deter her from chewing on me, and she managed to get a hold of my right hand and crushed against the frame of the backpack. And after that, things got a little more violent. I started beating her over the head with my backpack, smashing her in the face, and then she kind of backed away. I tried to get my bear spray on my backpack, and she ended up turning around and came charging in at me a second time, and I managed to make it about 60 or so feet away, jumped up in a tree, and well, she came up after me and pulled me out of the tree, and we wrestled around on the ground for a few seconds, and the first thing she did was bite me in the left side of the face, and she removed the whole left side of my face in one bite. Her top two canine teeth caught me on either side of the left eye, and when she bit down, she totally removed the whole left side of my face in one bite. And she ended up taking off. I got up and pulled my phone out, took a selfie, and realized that I needed a few stitches. I remember looking at the picture and thinking to myself, oh, it's not too bad. Heck, I can go over there and get that ram.
The picture, by the way, if you see it, it is online, and I will warn you, it's very graphic, but it is clearly evident he is seriously, seriously injured. One of, if not the most impactful interview, I talked about that interview to so many people. The website is grizzlydude.ca. He's got a book called Mauled, basically retelling his story. Jeremy Evans, keynote speaker at the Oil and Gas Show on the safety portion of their program. It's quite a story of resiliency and fighting through tough challenges. And I mean, I can't think of a challenge physically more challenging than fighting a grizzly bear and surviving and then coming through, not only mending from a physical standpoint, but he talked about his mental journey, obviously significant as well. You can listen to the whole interview here on go to our website, cjme.com, ckom.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. It was noon on Wednesday that we did that conversation. Nick in Saskatoon on the hug and bug line. I'm bugged by people who think like Betty Nippy Albright. I spent 11 years working in downtown Saskatoon. I witnessed a man be chased down, pulled out of a building, stabbed 6 times, and him screaming and bleeding on the sidewalk. Many stabbings, assaults, robberies, destruction of property, defecating on cars. Nick says, I am 100% behind treating addiction and mental health problems as an illness, but enough is enough. These people need to be separated and get help. I challenge Betty and those people who think like her to come up with ideas to protect the man stabbed on the street, because he is the victim and not the assailant. Nick goes on to say a hug to Mark Arcand. His initiatives may not all have been successful, but at least he's trying things instead of whining. A quick bug here I want to get in. Ray from Saskatoon. I'm getting tired of eating Kraft dinner every day and can't afford the gas to drive to that Weyburn KFC buffet that I've been hearing about all week. because I spent all my money buying Mark Carney beef tenderloin and Normandy butter cups on his luxury floating chef's table. Ray in Saskatoon. Glad I was able to get that in for you on Bugs and Hugs. It's eating time. Belton Johnson is next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.